Chapter 18. Pushing my laptop away across my desk, I stretched my arms over my head. Skippy, this isn't working.
It is working, he insisted. It's not working as quickly as you want.
Let me rephrase what I said. This hasn't worked, and it's not ever going to work. Not to do anything useful.
Okay, well, I have to agree with you about that.
I wish you wouldn't.
Huh? You don't want me to agree with you?
No. I want you to tell me I'm wrong, that I'm a dumb-dumb numbskull, that you found a way to make this work.
Hey, thinking outside the box is your job.
The box is the problem.
He blinked at me.
I'm not following you. Sliding my laptop back toward me, I turned it around so he could see the display. Not that the display needed to be facing toward his avatar, of course.
This box. The space between these five wormholes.
Oh, you are referring to a physical box, or at least a virtual one.
Yeah.
Closing the laptop, I leaned back in my chair. Show me that star chart again, please. The hologram.
It's not a hologram. Whatever.
The source of my frustration appeared, an image showing the problem that was frustrating me. We attract the bogey through three additional wormholes, then we lost it. The bogey had gone through a wormhole that was way out near the end of the Sagittarius arm of the Milky Way. That's an inaccurate description, since on the outer rim, the stars get thinly spread out and you can't really say one star or group of stars belongs to any particular spiral arm. The end of that wormhole was kind of the middle of nowhere, except everything around us could be considered the middle of nowhere. From the wormhole we knew the bogey had gone through, there were only four other wormholes that were conceivably within that ship's range. Even Valkyrie would have a tough time making that flight if we had to go the long way. So Skippy screwed with the four distant wormholes one by one, creating shortcuts for us. Nothing. The bogey had not gone through any of those four tunnels in space-time. It also had not turned around and backtracked. Skippy checked after I asked him to. That thought hadn't occurred to him. He did discover, again after I asked him a specific question, that the bogey had used that wormhole three times. Outbound relatively recently, with us following several days behind. Before that, it came outbound, then 8 days later, it went through the wormhole again, back toward the center of the galaxy. The possibilities are... I counted on my fingers, not because I'm stupid, thank you, but because it helps me think. The thing is traveling toward one of the four other wormholes and it hasn't gotten there yet.
True, he nodded. It is a long flight to any of those wormholes.
Right, unless you can create a shortcut like I do. Which you checked and no one has screwed with those wormholes until you did.
Correct.
And you are still certain that no other AI did screw with the wormhole and got that network to cover its tracks?
Those network controllers won't even do that for me. Listen, numbskull.
Networks comply with my requests to temporarily alter their connections because doing that is allowed under their operating parameters. Altering records about who goes through a wormhole is not allowed. Do you get that?
I do. Sorry.
He sniffed.
You should be.
It's just that this AI has demonstrated capabilities that you don't have, so...
This again...
Joe, if you want to assume this other AI is freaking magic, then there is no point to this discussion.
Right.
Okay, let's assume it can't get a wormhole network to lie. It came through the wormhole behind us twice. It never used the other four wormholes. Not yet. If it's flying toward one of those other four wormholes, all we can do is wait for it to get there the long way.
That will be a long wait. I hope we have enough snacks to keep the crew happy.
The other possibility, that seems more likely, is the bogey has a base around here somewhere, within 4 days of flight time. 4 days to get there, and 4 days back to the wormhole. Show me your best guess of how far that ship could travel in any direction from here within 4 days, please. The star chart hanging in my office zoomed in.
Shit.
Even out toward the ass end of the galaxy, there were way too many stars.
How many stars in that area?
Roughly 3,800.
Almost 4,000?
Space is not as empty as you think, even out near the rim.
Oh, hell, it would take us freaking forever to search that area.
Not forever, he corrected me, because of course he had to do that. I have created a least time search pattern, assuming Valkyrie performs the search alone. Including time out for refueling, downtime for maintenance, and regularly flying back to Earth for major overhauls, the search would take...
I don't need to know, thank you.
It's just as well. You would be long retired before the search pattern was complete. Fantastic. Perhaps one of your sons could complete the search for you. If they can stop fighting each other long enough to join the Navy. 4,000 star systems? Well, not every star has planetary companions. Okay, then. But most stars have something, even brown dwarfs. I did not include brown dwarfs in my count of stars. Great. Plus, as you know, there will be rogue planets out there that do not orbit a star. Even better. Really, if there is an Elder AI aboard that ship, which there is not because I told you they are all dead, it would not necessarily require the resources of a planet at all. Any rock of decent size with the right materials could serve as a base. There are plenty of such rocks in the spaces between stars. Trillions of them in the area we are looking at. This is better than I ever dreamed of. It's not my fault that you ask for the impossible, knucklehead. Like I said, this ain't working. So we'll try this the easy way. He stared at me. There is an easy way? Yeah, we wait right here for the bogey to come back. Oh, darn it, I should have thought of that. You have to think of everything else, Skippy. Well, that is a very good point. We can do that. Hang out here within the figure eight pattern of this wormhole and you request the network to alert you when the bogey comes back? No. No, it won't alert you? No, it won't provide an alert for a specific ship. It will inform me of every ship that goes through. Fortunately for us, this wormhole gets about as much traffic as a store in Barbados that sells snowshoes. Right. Well, that's good. Maybe. If the bogey is flying toward one of the other four wormholes, then us hanging around here is a waste of time. I know that. Okay, we wait here for a maximum of 10 days. I'll send the Dutchman back to civilization to ping a relay station for an update in case there's some other damned crap going on in the galaxy that we need to deal with. Better ask Colonel Bonsu to bring back some snacks if he can. We could be here for a while. Waiting near a wormhole hoping the bogey would return was not actually doing anything. I hate waiting, especially when there is an urgent need to take action. We couldn't take action since I had no idea where the bogey had gone. It made me feel useless. Fortunately for me, the need to track the bogey was OBE, overcome by events. We set a schedule for Skippy to create shortcuts for the Dutchman to return. No shortcuts for 2 days, then at irregular intervals over 10 days. After 10 days, if Bonsu had not brought his ship back, we would go looking for the Dutchman. Skippy had to be careful about screwing with that wormhole schedule in case whoever was flying the bogey noticed the odd behavior. So far, our mission had been a failure, and I was growing worried. More worried, I mean, than I already was at the prospect of another freaking Elder AI flying around the galaxy. An Elder AI that, if not actively hostile, at least had its own agenda. An agenda that included it wanting its very own pet sentinel. And I did not foresee any problems with that. My worry meter went up a notch, if that was possible, when Skippy reported the Flying Dutchman had sent a ping that the assault carrier was ready to come through the wormhole during the first shortcut opportunity. Only 2 days had passed since the Dutchman departed. That could not be good news. Literally. The closest relay station from the shortcut was less than 1 day of travel time, allowing a quick turnaround. That relay station did not see frequent traffic, so we hadn't expected the Dutchman to get much useful info there. The fact that Bonsu decided to race back to the shortcut implied he had learned of a galaxy-shattering disaster on the level of a Nickelback reunion tour. The Dutchman didn't broadcast a message as it came through the wormhole. To prevent the bogey from detecting our presence, all communication between ships was accomplished by low-powered burst laser links. Bonsu's face appeared in Valkyrie's main display. General Bishop? Colonel, give me the bad news. His expression made it clear the news was very bad. The vault under the moon was raided by an Elder starship. Someday, if we all lived that long, my boys might ask, Daddy, what were you doing when the moon was attacked? So what heroic thing was I doing at that time? My calendar says I was in the galley baking cinnamon buns. Joe Bishop, hero. Damn it. My kids think of me as the snack guy, and they are not right about that. But maybe they're not entirely wrong either. Skippy, of course, could not believe it. An Elder starship? No way. Just no way. The data's wrong? I asked. We were in a conference room aboard the Valkyrie. By we, I mean Reed, Frey, Strebick, and Bonsu. Colonel Bonsu participated in person. I had requested he fly over from the Dutchman. We could start a band, call it Joe and the Four Colonels. That band would suck. I'm saying the data was faked. If an Elder Starship was not there, Derek Bonsu hadn't been exposed to Skippy long enough to know the protocol for dealing with the beer can, like always suck up to Skippy. Or maybe Bonsu just didn't give a shit. How do you explain what happened? Well, it... Bonsu leaned forward across the table toward the Avatar. Does any current species have the technology to bore a hole like that, and for a ship to hover in a gravity well with no apparent means of support? Hey! The face of the Avatar took on a tinge of red. That was a new emulation. Just because... Skippy, I interrupted to prevent an argument from spiraling out of control. Clearly we need to get you access to better data. We can't do that from here. Can anyone, I looked around the table, think of a reason for us to remain here? Reed's lips drew into a tight line, but Strebick spoke first. Sir, we have no clue where that Elder Starship went after it left the moon. We were able to track the bogey here. As far as we know, it never went back through this wormhole. Ah, shit. Just when I thought my day couldn't get any worse, it did. Could there be two Elder AIs out there?
No, Skippy scoffed. I told you they are all dead.
Bonsu wasn't buying Skippy's bullshit. Then who was flying that Elder Starship? Skippy rolled his eyes. I can guarantee it wasn't an Elder. For now, I held up a hand, we will assume the raid on the vault was conducted by an Elder Starship until we have evidence that it wasn't. Skippy, I jabbed a finger at him. There is no point to argue about it here. You will have access to the data when we reach Earth.
We're going to Earth, sir? Reed asked.
Yes. That decision was made while I was saying the word. Strebick, your point about knowing the bogey came here and didn't leave is valid. We might come back here later. First, we have to find the answer to a question. What's that? Skippy was puzzled. Why our freaking invincible sentinel didn't protect Earth? That, Skippy sighed, taking off his ginormous hat and rubbing his dome, is a very good question. Bonsu asked to speak with me after the meeting. Since his ship wasn't needed for tracking the bogey, he requested that the Dutchman be released from the special mission group and allowed to travel back to Xandras. I was inclined to deny his request. We might need your sensors to figure out what happened at the moon, I explained, or to track that Elder Starship. He didn't try to argue the point. Sir, Valkyrie can travel faster without the Dutchman. My ship is basically an aircraft carrier. We normally use a star carrier for flying long distances. Yeah, I have thought about that. For now, Skippy will create 3 wormhole shortcuts to get us close to the far end of the backstop wormhole. We'll travel together through the shortcuts, then Valkyrie will sprint ahead. You follow us to Earth at best speed. Yes, sir. He looked like he had a question. Or a comment. Bonsu? After the raid, Command will be pulling the fleet back to Earth. I expect they've already issued those orders, yes. I hope someone remembers the people we have on Xandras. Every species in the galaxy will see that Earth is vulnerable, that all of humanity isn't as strong as we pretend it to be. Someone like the Theranin could see this time as an opportunity to hit an isolated battalion of humans, settle scores, make points with their patrons. He had a good point. We both knew that. Skippy, I called, and his avatar appeared on the conference table again. My assumption had been we needed the Dutchman's sensors at Earth, but I hadn't asked the question. How useful would it be to have the Dutchman's sensor suite at Earth?
Marginal,
he shrugged. The incident is over, so what you're really asking is do I need Nagatha there to help me analyze the data? The answer is no, duh.
Nagatha, have you been listening?
No, dear, her breathy voice answered. I'm not authorized to do that.
Okay, the question is,
however, I did review the audio files of your conversation that Bilby just sent to me. In this case, I am forced to agree with Skippy. My knowledge of Elder technology is limited. I could not be of much assistance to him in analyzing the raid against your moon.
Very well. Colonel Bonsu, work with Skippy to plot a shortcut to Xandras for you. If your ship can get there within 5 days, I will release the Dutchman on temporary service.
After you pull the Operation Sunset troops off the ground, I want you to fly straight to Earth.
DEFCON will want us at Earth anyway, he agreed.
We will have to wait at Xandras for the Star Carrier, he reminded me. Without Skippy's assistance, my trash hauler can't make the trip to Earth by itself. With a nod, I turned to go, but Bonsu wasn't moving.
Duh.
Since you'll be pulling the Sunset Battalion off the surface, you should have your air group commander with you.
Take your referring to Colonel Strebick as his wife was not appropriate. Your CAG with you.
Having Irene Strebick aboard had been good for my peace of mind until I became more familiar with Valkyrie's crew, especially Reed's first officer, Commander Henri Gasquet of the French Navy. I knew the guy was good, efficient, and smart. Of course he was. Reed had selected him as her XO. If something happened to Reed, I had become confident that Gasquet could handle the ship. Besides, I had been captain of Valkyrie for years and I had completed the refresher training. If needed, I could take the command chair again. Although that would mean me having to be responsible for a whole lot of extra paperwork, so taking the captain's slot again would be my last choice.
Thank you, sir. Bonsu looked toward the doorway. I'll get to working with Skippy on a shortcut.
We had to compromise by taking a wormhole shortcut that was slightly less than optimal for Valkyrie so the Dutchman could get to Xandras within 3 days. For us, the overall delay was less than 4 hours. I judged that delay a reasonable price to pay for pulling the Operation Sunset people off the surface of Xandras. Losing their human peacekeeping force would suck for the Verdkris still stuck on that rock. There wasn't anything I could do about that. Correction, there wasn't anything I was willing to do about that situation. I needed to get Skippy to Earth and find out what the hell had gone wrong with Bubba. I couldn't allow myself to get distracted. During the tense trip to Earth, I did not ask Skippy to speculate on why the Sentinel had failed to defend Earth, had not done the job he programmed Bubba to do. Asking him to guess would be a useless exercise and only piss him off. He didn't need me or anyone else yelling at him for his pet's failure. I could tell he was beating himself up about it. There's nothing Skippy hates worse than the public seeing a demonstration that his awesomeness is less than perfect. He was humiliated, he was hurt, and he was depressed. What I needed him to be was angry. Not at me, but at whoever was flying that Elder Starship. We had come through the last wormhole that Skippy was able to screw with to make a shortcut, and then had to jump the long way to the far end of the backstop wormhole that opened very near our home star system. The ship was in a familiar cycle of jump, recharge, jump again. That was familiar to me anyway, and to Reed and Frey. Everyone else aboard the ship had experienced traveling between wormholes, but not doing it during a desperate race that might lead the ship into even more desperate combat. Frey, Reed, and I had done that too many times to count. The crew was mostly untested in combat, and I had to remind myself that actually was a good thing. The governments of Earth fighting only optional wars and not fighting for survival was the whole point of the struggles the Merry Band of Pirates had gone through for years. Valkyrie's crew lacked experience in large-scale combat because Earth was secure. Until now. In my office, I was catching up on paperwork, something that never ends and somehow had expanded with my rank, when Skippy's avatar appeared on the desk.
Hey.
I glanced up at him, then back to my laptop. He had his arms folded defiantly across his chest, his little mouth was set in a pout, and his eyes blazed. It was best to ignore him until he said whatever he clearly needed to say.
Well?
He demanded.
Well, I'm filling in these stupid forms as fast as I can. I'm having to relearn some of...
Oh. The forms on my laptop scrolled rapidly as they auto-filled. My signature appeared at the bottom, and suddenly my inbox was empty.
Thanks.
Let's get on with it, shall we?
The award for Best Actor in a Dramatic Presentation goes to...
Joe Bishop.
Get on with what?
I did my usual clueless routine. Sadly, the uncultured audience was not buying my performance.
You know what?
You could save yourself a lot of time by just telling me what you're talking about.
You can't wait to bitch at me about Bubba's failure to do anything useful, and I can't wait to get this over with.
I don't want to bitch at you.
You don't?
No. Would me yelling and asking you a lot of stupid questions right now accomplish anything useful?
No. But you monkeys seem to enjoy doing that anyway.
It helps us to relieve tension. It is just stupid. Like you said, it's something monkeys do, so...
Wow. Okay.
Skippy, I know you did the best job you could, and I know you're angry at yourself about it. Me piling on won't help you to focus on fixing the problem.
Wow, Joe. That is very mature of you. Maybe being a father has...
Plus, when we get to Earth, literally billions of people will be waiting to tell you what a useless jackass they think you are.
Are you sure we shouldn't turn the ship around?
I have a Taco Bell coupon that expires next week, so I kinda have to go to Earth anyway. His shoulders slumped and he looked up at the ceiling.
This is gonna suck!
I have an idea that might help if you want to hear it.
Nothing you could suggest will help me survive the coming crap storm.
My suggestion is, could you create a submine to handle all communications with Earth? Let the people there vent at your submind while you ignore the messages.
Huh.
Right? Joe, the only problem is that listening to the complaints and insults of monkeys will make my submind want to kill itself. Isn't that why Grumpy hates you with an all-consuming passion?
Well, that, plus that thing is just a jerk.
Uh-huh. And not because it's stuck having to talk with monkeys all day, every day?
I have to admit I would hate me too.
Okay, thanks for the suggestion, but I'm going to embrace the suck.
What?
You know, it's something grunts do. You know something is going to epically suck, but there's nothing you can do about it, so you just get on with it.
I know what that means, but you were never a grunt, Skippy.
I have dealt with the awful smell aboard this ship for years. That should make me an honorary grunt.
That. Plus, do you know anyone who gets into more sketchy fuckery than I do?
Good point. You're an honorary member of the E4 Mafia. During the flight, I kept my promise and didn't ask Skippy to guess what was wrong with Bubba. There was another question that was bothering me, so I called him.
Skippy, I'm afraid I know the answer to this question, and I don't like it. Why did the Elder ship take the canisters of radonium from the moon base, but not take any of the Guardians?
His avatar appeared, already glaring at me.
To start with, we don't know that it was an Elder starship.
Okay, but second, do you think someone can simply stuff a freaking Guardian in their pocket and take it away?
My question is actually about the radonium. Whoever hit the moon base did it to steal the radonium.
Well, that seems fairly obvious.
What is your question?
My question is why. Please tell me the bad guy, whoever, can't use that radonium to wake up another Sentinel.
Oh, that's what you're worried about?
You think I shouldn't be worried about it?
Joe, the bad guy can't use that radonium to wake up a Sentinel.
Great. I heaved a sigh of relief. That is one less thing to...
Wait, are you just saying that because I asked you to?
Not this time, no.
Joe, the total amount of radonium in those 11 canisters is less than 2 grams, and that radonium is not a high-grade material. It hasn't been processed into a usable purity.
Then why bother going through the effort of stealing it and destroying the moon base so we can't make more?
Wow, that is a tough question. There are many possible uses for low-grade radonium. For example, it could be processed into materials that have many applications for an Elder starship, although it is very unlikely there was an Elder starship involved, so let's forget about that for now. Anything I suggest would be a guess.
Your guess is way better than mine.
That is true.
Okay, assuming we are dealing with the same asshole who is flying the bogey ship, the most likely use for low-grade radonium is to boost the range of an Elder comm node.
That's not good.
It isn't. But the material still requires processing, and after those 2 grams are purified into a usable strength, there would be barely enough remaining to boost a single pair of comm nodes. Unless the enemy used a very efficient processing method, there would not be enough pure material for even a single application.
Okay, thanks. What I care about is whoever the enemy is, their goal is not to have a pet Sentinel.
It is not. It...
I do not like that, Skippy.
Oh, I was just thinking.
Smacking the moon base had to be for the purpose of destroying humanity's ability to make more radonium.
Yes.
So?
So, what if delaying us from waking up a Sentinel isn't good enough for the enemy? What if they want to block our ability to do that?
That, I blinked. Could happen?
It's possible. Theoretically.
I think. I'll need to ponder the question. What I'm talking about is a cross-dimensional transmitter that could jam the signal from our transmitters.
How would that work?
Well, the jammers would need to be positioned near our transmitters, in stealth, of course. Although once the jamming goes active, your Navy could quickly detect the location of the jammers and destroy them.
That doesn't sound like a practical weapon.
I said I am guessing!
Sorry. Thank you. Ponder it when you have time, okay? Don't spend a lot of time on it. We'll get more data when we reach Earth.
Before we transition through the backstop wormhole, I again urge Skippy to create a submine to handle all but the highest level communications. My reasoning was he would have plenty of actual work to do when we reached Earth. I did not need him to be distracted, or even more depressed.
Joe, are you ordering me to delegate all my communications?
Yes, other than when you're speaking with the DEFCOM chiefs of staff. And I will tell them you are very busy analyzing the enormous volume of data.
Wow. Thanks.
I got your back, homeboy. We bumped fists.
When we jump in near Earth, your top priority, your only priority, is to find out why Bubba didn't respond to the attack.
Believe me, I am aching to know what the hell happened.
Damn it. The last time we were at Earth, I not only verified that Bubba hadn't been hacked, I reinforced the firewalls.
Do your thing. And yeah, I know, keep you informed so you can get command off your back.
Ignore command and forget about keeping me informed. Find out what went wrong and fix it ASAP. Let me know when you're done, okay? Otherwise, ignore the screeching of monkeys.